This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
The Punisher, a firearm-wielding vigilante, was pulled from New York Comic-Con by Marvel and Netflix, something Steve Harsh, who's been attending for years, understands.
I do kind of agree with that, out of respect for the victims and for the situation.
But another attendee, Leo Lawrence, says the Punisher didn't cause the Vegas shooting.
That's only punishing the fans, and it's only letting the idiot that did it win.
Punisher or not, security here is tight, with the NYPD's heavily armed anti-terrorism unit standing guard. At the Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
Take that as a yes.
What?
The ring.
The world remains in mourning after the death of Superman. Violence, acts of war, and terrorism are all on the rise.
I had a dream. It was the end of the world.
Invasion.
I think it's something more. Something darker.
People we don't know to risk their lives.
Strong man is strong as alone. You ever heard that?
That's not a saying. That's the opposite of what the saying is. Divided, we are not enough. The world needs Superman. Why I brought you together.
Ride ain't over yet.
My man.
That's a bad signal. That's your... That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Yeah, that's what that means.
It's so cool.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we have a super special guest for you. We're joined by actress Lily Bourdain. Lily, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. Hi, Walter.
Hey. We're super excited to have you on today's show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Lily, for our listening audience, I was wondering if you could tell us just a little bit about yourself. How did you first become involved with acting? I know that your parents were Hungarian immigrants. What made you catch the acting bug?
My mom is an actress. She was a very famous, she still is a very famous actress in Hungary, which is a very small country. My dad had been in America for a while and then brought my mom out to New York, and that's when I came along and my brother came along. So I was already born in the States, but my mom and dad are both Hungarian. Yeah, you got that right.
Wow, that is something. So I guess growing up, you had a lot of inspiration, I guess, seeing your mom act and, you know, hearing those stories.
That's why I became an actress, because I saw her do her thing, and also she encouraged it. She saw some talent in me and, you know, encouraged me to pursue it.
Absolutely. Would you say that she was, I guess, influential in just the way that you honed your craft and kind of how you take your direction and just who you are as an actress? Because I know, like, a lot of actors will say that, you know, they studied, you know, this person or that person to kind of hone and to kind of refine their craft. Was that the case with you and your mother?
In a sense, yes, because when I would do plays at school or when she would take me on auditions or when we were filming, she would be there all the time. But she never directed me or instructed me. She always let the director do that. So I guess what I learned from her is just, you know, how to carry yourself as a woman. More than as an actress, just how to be a good person and a graceful, beautiful, elegant woman that she was. She was always an inspiration to me.
Absolutely. What are some of the things that you like the most about just the art form of acting? Because I know that it's an art form that a lot of people desire to do, but I think once they find out, you know, what I guess it entails and kind of all of the work that goes behind the glamour that, you know, we may see on the red carpet or on the silver screen. But what keeps you going? I guess what really just draws you to the craft?
Well, the work itself, the character, the psychology of the character, breaking down a script, finding a good script, connecting with good creative people, like good directors, good writers, good producers, telling a story, telling the same story, you know, with your team, being on the same page with a creative team. I think that's the most exciting part, is the teamwork for me.
Absolutely. How do you, because I know that, you know, so much goes into acting, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, actors and actresses, they'll try their hand at producing or directing. Have you ever had to deal with, I guess, a bad script? And if so, how did you deal with it? How did you make the best of, you know, a script that you may have thought, you know, wasn't written well or wasn't being directed well?
Well, I've never worked on a script that I absolutely hated, because then I wouldn't have done it. But I have come across scripts that I thought maybe I could bring more to. I think when you come face to face with a perfect script, it's almost more daunting than when you come to face with a script that's like maybe 90% or, you know, that's very rare even to see a script that's like, for me, 90% perfect. But I actually like the challenge of bringing my creativity in that extra way to kind of fill in the gaps. And also, if the director and the other actors and the producers are flexible and creative and they want your input, then that makes it even more fun. And then other times it's just read what's on the page and do it exactly the way it's written. And that's another challenge that I invite or welcome as well. But more and more I'm being selective about the project, and I look for roles that are interesting, they have depth, they're intricate, there's psychology behind them. I can imagine what this person was like as a kid, if we're talking about drama, or if it's you know, if it's something comedic, then it's, you know, that it works in that way. So more and more I'm you know, choosing the script and just not taking everything that comes along. And I've also not taken things that came along or missed out on things for one reason or another that I regret. Just very recently, you know, I missed out on some opportunities for one reason or another that I regret, but I also believe that the projects that you end up doing are the projects that are the stories that you're meant to be telling. I really do believe that. So if I don't book a job or if the deal falls through or whatever, it's because that wasn't my story to tell. And I find solace in that. And, you know, watching someone else do the character that I was going to do is hard and difficult, but it's also a lesson, and it's also wonderfully clear, usually, that that's the person that was really, really meant to play that role. And that works the other way around, too. Like, if I get a role, then I know that it's my role. And I used to not believe that, and that, you know, that's something I've had to grow into as well, is realizing that if it's my role, it's my role. I've just got to own it. I've just got to not feel like I'm not good enough or big enough for it or right enough for it. What was the role that Jane Fonda did? It was Clute, the movie Clute. I don't know if you've seen it. It's one of my favorites, and she won the Oscar for it. And I was reading her autobiography, and she was saying how she actually told the director, whose name I stupidly forgot, even though he's one of my favorites, but she asked me, why didn't you get Faye Dunaway to do this role? Why didn't you? There's like five other women who would have been better for this role. And the director had the faith in her. And that's another thing that is such a blessing, when a director believes in you more than you believe in yourself. Which, unfortunately, actors, most actors and artists and creatives are insecure. And so we need that person to say, this is you, so shut up and do it. You don't need to know why. It's you. This is you. Just step into it and be that character. And what's cool is I worked on a film that stars Jane Fonda recently. It's called Book Club, and it's coming out in theaters May 18th.
Oh, wow.
So she's one of my idols, and I got to, you know, I'm going to get to share the screen with her. So I'm looking forward to that coming out soon.
That's a dream come true.
Yeah, totally. Totally is, yes.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's a really good philosophy to have as well, because, I mean, yeah, so many of us, you know, we desire, you know, that things may have, you know, gone one way as opposed to another. And I guess at the end of the day, it's like you can't really beat yourself up about stuff that's out of your control, you know, like ultimately there's going to be some things that don't go your way or some things that just don't work out, but I guess you can't really dwell on those.
No, you have to move on from that. And even if it was your fault or is your fault or is partially your fault, or you could have done something differently or said something differently or, you know, pushed more or pushed less. At the end of the day, I just say F it and move on, because as long as you take the lessons and you move forward with those lessons and are more prepared for the next one, and that goes for every job, that goes for producing a film, that goes for, you know, everything in life. I mean, that's where my head's at right now, is getting into kind of writing and producing. But yeah, it was everything. All you can do is learn the lessons, hopefully, and sometimes it takes a little while to realize what the lesson was. Once you get over the disillusionment, disappointment, whatever, we deal with that a lot as actors. More maybe then with other jobs. You know, if you're an attorney or, you know, on trial, you're either going to lose the case or win the case. You know, it's 50-50, but when you're an actor, it depends, you know, your odds get better as you gain momentum and get more credits. But at the beginning, it's the lottery.
That's true. I love how you your approaches to just dealing with acting and just also immersing yourself into the craft, because I know that a lot of actors and actresses that you talk to, they'll usually say that that's the worst part of the job, is like having to deal with like the rejection or the missed opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to motivate yourself or to, you know, to stay motivated despite, you know, how positive, you know, you might be. And so I think that the fact that you have that is really, really awesome, because a lot of people, you know, it's hard for them to muster up and to keep that resiliency, you know, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's hard for me too. I mean, I had two very important auditions today, and I was looking forward to, you know, just relaxing tonight, and then I got slammed with, I told you, that's why I had to, you know, I wanted to talk to you now instead of tomorrow, because I've got two more auditions tomorrow. And I love auditioning. Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. And actually, the more auditions I have, the more relaxed I am. I mean, okay, so actually it's not entirely true, because I have to learn all the lines, and it can be confusing to be working on several characters at the same time. But that, like, I had a bunch of auditions last week, and I've completely forgotten about them, and I'm not holding my breath and thinking about them because I'm on to the next one. Would it be nice if I got a call from the ones from last week? Absolutely. Am I expecting it? I want to say I'm expecting it, but I also like to be pleasantly surprised, so I'm going to let that surprise me.
Absolutely. You know, auditioning is something that is so vital to the work that you do. And, you know, essentially, you know, if you're not going on auditions, you know, you're not really getting any work. Was it ever, I guess, a point in your time, like in your career, where auditioning was like particularly nerve-wracking, or where you didn't like doing it for whatever reason?
Actually, yeah, I love being on set. I love having that role, having a lead role, and really dissecting it and working on it. But you have to audition to get that role. You have to show them that you can do it, that you understand it. And so auditioning is very important. And so I did take audition classes. And but it's nerve-wracking for me still. I mean, you know, I enjoy it, because you can't do it any other way than enjoy it. But it is nerve-wracking.
Absolutely. I want to jump ahead, and I want to talk about your newest film, Live or Die in Wakanda. I saw the screener for it, and yeah, it was amazing. Normally, you know, having to see like a lot of films, like there's a lot of films that like I'll see that I'm not really sold on, or it's just not my cup of tea. But this film, from the first few frames all the way to the very end, it just caught my attention and kept it. It was an amazing film. How did you prepare for the role?
Well, first of all, thank you. I didn't want to interrupt you and your words of praise. Keep it coming. No, that's amazing to hear. It just came out last week, I think, so 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh, that's right.
So, can you hear me okay? Because I'm hearing an echo.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, cool. I'm hearing myself. That's okay. So I haven't heard much feedback on it, so I really I'm really happy to hear that you liked it, and I hope you're not just saying that to there's my insecurity again, but yeah, I loved the film. I mean, I loved it from the script. And I was like, oh my goodness, like this is. And actually, I talked to Jeff, and he's like, that's what I wanted to make this script attractive to actors because I knew I couldn't pay big names to do it, but I needed someone who could do the role, and you know, who has talent, and it's great to get people like that, even though the budget is not, you know, a big Hollywood budget movie, is to write really good roles for the actors. And this was one of those roles. And I actually had a friend of mine audition who's on all kinds of TV shows, and she's doing really, really well with her career, but she still submits to these films because she says sometimes you can find really good, cool indie films and like actors access and submit yourself for them. And she was at this audition too, and she usually books everything, but this one I booked. She was like, wow, you're so lucky you got that one because it's really cool. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And Blake Sheridan-Bromovich is the other actor, and he's awesome and was wonderful to work with. Same with Jeff Hammer, the director. He was amazing to work with, and we all worked together really closely. And it was a very intimate shoot. We had a very small crew. They all knew each other. They'd all gone to school together. And we all lived in this, we kind of landed like locusts on this little town of La Honda and just filled out the town and were shooting in the town and, you know, and filled the bar. We were in the bar every night. There's one bar. And like, you know, I mean, we were filming in the bar. So, but yeah, it's a wonderful film and I do recommend you see it if you haven't. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I'm really glad you liked it, Walter.
Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. I wanted to ask you, what preparation did you have to do for the role?
You did ask me and I never answered. So the most important thing that we did was drive up to San Francisco together, me and Blake. So I was going to catch a flight up and, you know, Jeff was like, you know, we'll fly you up to San Francisco and then we'll drive you down to La Honda. And then I was like, you know what? Do I want to sit in a car? I didn't really know Blake. I was like, man, do I want to sit in a car for 7 hours, 6 hours? And I don't really know. And like, what if I want to take a nap? I don't like traveling. Like, I want to be where I have to be. But it was the best thing I ever did, and it was his suggestion, and he just insisted. He's like, really? Like, we're not going to have time. And we actually did have rehearsals. Jeff came down to Los Angeles, and we rented my friend's theater, and we did hours and hours of just breaking down the script and going over the dialogue and trying to understand, make sure we're on the same page. But that drive up with Blake was really, really, really important because we just talked about it and we expressed what we felt about it and characters and how deep we wanted to go with the characters. And we had some really good talks about that and how far we wanted to go with this. Like, did we really want to show the vulnerability of these characters? What is this about for us? And we realized it was a movie about PTSD, which was in the script already. But I think it needed to be consciously, like, accepted as such, as the one of the driving forces is that these people are just messed up. They just haven't dealt with the trauma of war, and they're still in war. They've recreated Iraq in this little town of 500 people, and it being, you know, terrorists and bombs, and, you know, it's drugs and just making chaos all around them. And Blake trying to, Blake's character, he called Blake in the movie because it was written for him trying to kind of calm me down because he's gone into yoga and meditation and done all this stuff to help with his PTSD. But my character hasn't dealt with it, but they're in love, so it's really complicated.
Yeah, it sure is. But it's written so well. I mean, I don't ever find myself, you know, when I was watching the film, I never found myself being out of the loop or struggling to keep up with what was going on. You know, it's a fast-paced film, but everything is very traceable. Like, you're able to really truly follow along and keep up the story. The interaction between you and Blake is amazing as well. Now, you said that, I think you said before that you guys were actually friends before the film.
No, I'd never met him. I met him at the audition, and then and then we got together for rehearsals with Jeff, and then we drove up together.
Okay. Wow. I guess, you know, that's, you know, the magic of acting, because, you know, from this film, looking at you guys, you know, one would swear, like, you guys have a lot of chemistry just in terms of, you know, probably films that you've acted in together before. You guys really...
No, it just... That was, I guess, part of the casting process, is Blake was there and probably had a say, you know, and, you know, there was chemistry, and that was something that we, you know, we worked on. We were like, are we going to really fully commit to these characters? And we were like, yeah. And we were like, you know, it's actually really crazy what we do as actors, to pretend to be in love.
Yeah.
It's a really nutty concept, and but yeah, it was I trusted him and he trusted me, and we trusted the process, and we're very, you know, professional. I also realized when it's action, we're this inseparable dynamic duo destroying the world together.
Absolutely. I love it. This is probably a weird question, but, you know, I know that in real life, off screen, you're actually married. Is it ever tough being married? You know, is your spouse, are they involved in, I guess, the industry? Is it ever hard when you're deciding on a role, like, hey, this role, you know, I'll be playing a love interest, or this role, I'll, you know, I might have a nude scene or a sex scene. Is it ever hard, you know, since you are married?
Well, so my husband is not in the in this industry, but he understands it, and he's very, we just communicate about everything really well, like communicate everything to death. So, yeah, so I don't ever think it might be weird for him, but I think he gets it, you know, he gets it, and he trusts me, and he trusts the process, and he trusts that I'm working, because it's work, and it's part of it, you know, but there's so much more to it than that. I mean, I shoot guns, I fire weapons in, like, every other thing I do. Like, that's part of it, too. Like, I have to deal with that, too. Like, I don't really believe in violence or guns. And so, you know, but then I play these characters that shoot people. And and so that's another thing I have to kind of reconcile within myself, and I have to learn how to handle these weapons. So that, you know, there's a lot of things that I have to stretch to learn and to try and understand, to put myself in different people's shoes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I know that, you know, each role is, you know, drastically different for you. You know, I'm sure, like, no two roles are the same.
They're all different. But there are similarities, you know. There are, you know, they're not completely different. There's a little bit of me in everybody, and there's a little bit of all of them in me. The question I always ask myself is, how is this character, a teacher of mine taught me this, how is this character different than me, and how am I like this character? Like, what do we have in common? What is different about us? And that's where you can kind of fill in the blanks.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, that's, when you put it like that, I mean, that does make sense, and that's really cool. I mean, I guess that's how you can, another way that you're able to, you know, take on a role without essentially, like, losing yourself in the process, because, you know, sometimes
we had an awesome, for this particular movie, we had an awesome cast and crew. There was Bernard Curry, Mercy Malick, David Fine. And then there were a bunch of guys who lived there, Mean Dave, Jack Mullins, Tom Romero. There were all these people, Patrick Young. These people are amazing, who live there and then or close by and played characters in the town. They played them, some of them played themselves. Jack Mullins is a great musician. And he played music in the movie and for the movie, but he was also one of the characters. So I wanted to give them a shout out. And then our DP, did you like the cinematography?
I did, yes.
Isn't it beautiful?
It is.
Yeah. So that's Mike Revolvalki. Revolvalki. I just call him Mike Revolvalki. He's doing some amazing movies. Has done some amazing movies since Liver Island in La Jolla.
Man, I love it. What was, I guess, your fondest memory of shooting this film? Because I'm sure that you guys worked together for probably an extended amount of time. Did you have a one moment that just really, I guess, stood out to you and kind of made the production that much more special to you?
One thing in particular, no, but just the overall feeling of working. I mean, I just want to, like, hug everybody because everybody's so dedicated, and so they're all really young, too.
Yeah.
So it was, some of them, it was their first film. And so everybody just, I remember my first feature, and you just fall in love with everybody and you become a family, you know, you just, and especially on this kind of budget, that's what I love about this kind of budget, is it's so loving, it's so close and so communal. And so maybe like the last, I think the night shoots were awesome. We really had to pull together for the night shoots. And then, I think after we finished shooting a night shoot, I think it was the last day of shooting, and we could have gone to sleep. It was like maybe, I don't remember. It was weird hours all over the place, but we could have gone to sleep, but nobody did. It was the last day of shooting, and we just sat outside and, you know, just did handstands and sat around in lawn chairs and drank beers and, you know, everybody smoked whatever they were smoking, and, you know, it was just very, very fun, very fun. Like, watched the sunrise and then hung out all day. That was our wrap party.
Holy smokes. That's crazy.
If I remember correctly. Kind of a blur. It's actually been 2 years. Over 2 years? No. It's been a year and a half since we filmed that, I think.
Wow. That's crazy. Is it ever just, I guess, foreign or strange to you, or just weird, to film something and to not see, I guess, the finished product for sometimes up to a year or two?
Yeah, but that's so much letting go in acting. So that's also about letting go and trusting that everybody's doing their job and everybody's, you know, and you'll see it when it's ready, germinating. It's, you know, it's in the chrysalis, it's just growing, developing. I've got a few movies. Actually, I've got six other projects or seven other projects that are in that development phase. Can I just list them off, rattle them?
Yeah, absolutely. That
okay. Okay. So there's a movie, the last one I shot was Curtiz, and it's about Michael Curtiz, who directed Casablanca and a load of other very, very famous films. But he was a very controversial figure, and it's a biopic about him, and we filmed that in Hungary. And I was an actor and associate producer on that. A film that just got into a few festivals, a short film. I'm going to IMDb myself. What do you say to that? So that I can tell you everything I'm doing. Because it's part of letting go is you try to forget until it comes out. Okay, so I told you about Book Club. There's a British film called Welcome to Curiosity that's coming out later this year. And it's with Amrita Achoa. Amrita Acharya. She was on Game of Thrones and a bunch of other things. So I have a role in that. And then there's Regarding the Case of Joan of Arc. So it's a Joan of Arc. It's a remake of Joan of Arc. Matthew Wilder is the director. My friend Jenna Vasquez is the producer. Joan of Arc is played by a wonderful actress called Nicole Laliberte, who you might have seen in Twin Peaks, the last season. So there's a short film called Love Deed, which we're still completing, but it's already been accepted to some festivals. So the director still wants to do something more with it. And then there's Escape, Puzzle of Fear. I play a really cool character called Tabitha. My friend Tommy Nash is the lead. Omar Gooding Jr. is also in it. That's Cuba Gooding Jr.'s brother. John Colton is my dad / love figure. It's a very twisted movie. And then Nicholas Torturo is also in it, and a bunch of other really cool young actors. And then there's Beneath the Leaves, which is with Sir Darius Blaine, who is just in Jumanji. And you did an interview with him recently, I think.
A little known fact, but we were actually roommates back.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. It was just for a year. I guess it would have been 2008 to 2009.
Small world.
2009. Yeah. No, in New York. He was in acting school at the New York Conservatory of Acting, I think it's called. And I was finishing up with my undergrad, and we were renting an apartment, living together as roommates. We were living in Washington Heights, and then just the rent became too much, and so we ended up moving to Jersey City.
What a great story.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool to see him. I mean, I'm just so happy.
He's doing amazing. I'm so happy for him. And I'm so lucky I get to have a couple of scenes with him and with Doug Jones. Mira Sorvino is in this one, and her dad, Paul Sorvino, is in it too. So it's a really cool cast, and Beneath the Leaves. And these movies are all in different stages of distribution. Some of them are just finishing up, you know, getting edited. They're still in the cutting room. And then there's a short film that I'm working on with a very talented female director called Kinga Kulchat. It's called Amble, and this is something that we co-wrote. And that Jeff, the producer of Live or Die La Honda, who I've also brought on to Curtiz, is helping us with Amble as well. And Amble is right now, we've finished the script and we're, King is doing storyboards and we're writing the budget and we're just going to start, you know, entering the raising money phase for it. But it's one of those things that just happens so organic, beautifully. I mean, talk about a chrysalis. It's just, it's breathing its life of its own. And so we know it's going to get made. It's just the question is, who's going to become involved in it and who's going to finance it and, you know, when is it going to come out? But it is going to come out because it's such a beautiful story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a weird question, but have you ever been so immersed in a project, in a film, and you wanted it to get made and you did everything that you could do on your end to get the film made and to make sure that, you know, everything happened, but for whatever reason, the dominoes just didn't fall into place and maybe the film couldn't get financed? Has that ever happened to you?
Well, it happened to me as an actor where friends of mine, people who became friends, or, you know, you become friends with everybody you work with, hopefully, but they just couldn't raise the money. Some of them are still trying to raise the money. It's been a few years. So after a while, you know, I get attached and I start to look at these movies and it's years and years and I start to say, well, you know what? I can't be attached to this anymore because it's too painful. Like, cut me loose. And then if you ever, you know, get the resources or want to do this, or if I can help get the resources for you, if it's something that I can, then let's make it happen. But it's just so, you know, it can be so painful. You become attached to these stories and scripts. And as an actor, yes, of course, but we're used to it because you get rejected so much. But then when you're someone who spent years writing a screenplay and you can't raise the money for it and your dreams, you know, it can feel really, really sad, and it's hard to move on from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
As actors, we're inured to that kind of thing because it happens to us on a regular basis. So we're like, oh, okay, next, you know, that didn't happen. Okay, we've got to be that way. We've got to be that way to survive. God, imagine if I got depressed after every audition I didn't book. I'd be like 6 feet under by now, like 5,000 feet. So, you know, instead of thinking of it that way, I'm thinking each audition is bringing me closer to the role that I have to play.
Absolutely. So you were in, was it two episodes of HBO's Westworld? You played the fortune teller.
Oh, talk about heartache. Okay, so I was actually in one episode, and I had a bunch of beautiful scenes. But then, you know, what happens is, like, it was acting, there's so many places where it can go the other way. So I was originally signed on as a top-of-show guest star, which is a wonderful thing to be on an HBO show. And then they went on hiatus, and they called me in to recur as the same character, the fortune teller. Or as far as I know, it would have been the fortune teller. But then a lot of time went by, a couple of weeks, and then I found out that actually they never called me in. So it shifted course a few times, and then by the time my episode that I originally shot aired, they had cut most of it. So, but at least I was in it, you know. Because I was really sad, and then my husband is so supportive, and he just was like, "Lily, you're in it. Like, you're in this epic, beautiful moment." People people talked about it on the internet, and, you know, it was really cool. It was cool to just be part of it. I was grateful to just be around that. To meet Evan Rachel Wood and Jimmy Simpson, and I became friends with Jimmy and had a good chat with Rachel as well. And it was wonderful to watch her work and watch people like her and Jimmy and Ben Barnes work.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you know if there's a possibility that you'll maybe get a chance to reprise that role in a new
season? My gosh, your mouth to God's ears. How many times I have prayed for that and wished and hoped for that. I would love to come back. Yeah, of course. That's an actor's greatest dream and greatest compliment you can get is to be asked back by the same director, by the same show. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll see.
Absolutely. Plus, there's so much, Westworld is, there's so much history with it, you know. Like, because I know when it was announced that it was coming to HBO, people were really wondering, you know, if they could pull this off. And they've just done a really, really good job with this series.
They did. They really did. I'm excited about season two. It looks really awesome.
Yes, me as well. I wanted to ask you, what's the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your work, the work that you do? Because I know like you've acted in so many different projects and, you know, you've done so much and you'll continue to do more. I mean, your legacy is just starting. But when people look back at your films, the work that you've done, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, what's the biggest takeaway that you want them to get from what you've done?
I don't know. Whatever it is that they need from the projects that I do, whatever messages that resonate with them, I don't try to control what they take away. I just try to focus on my work and being truthful and allowing the character to come alive.
Absolutely. That's a good goal to have.
I think that's it. And just to enjoy what they see and hopefully believe what they see, the truth of it, I guess, and, you know, get a few laughs, maybe a cry in here or there, and just feel. And I think with any film or any project, like anything like that, where you sit and watch, such a blessing to be the person, to be the project that people are watching.
Yeah.
So just even to be seen, you know, to be on a show that's watched and believed.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, when you put it like that, I mean, it really puts things in perspective. I mean, you know, this is something that, you know, not a lot of people consider that they've done or that they're currently doing. And so, I mean, if like you said, if you're doing that, I mean, that's something to be tremendously proud about and also to be, you know, grateful
for. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I've had to do that.
Absolutely. Lily, I'm all out of questions. I just wanted to thank you so much for
thank you.
You know,
thank
you
so much for having me on the show.
Oh,
thank
you're welcome.
And thank you to the listeners. Thank you for listening as well.
Right on. I was going to ask you, was there anything else you wanted to say to our listening audience?
Just thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, I guess, where can we?
Oh, you know what? That's my last question, and I should have asked you. I'm so sorry. Where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of your new projects to come?
I guess I'm pretty active on Twitter and Instagram. So it's just Lily Bordan, LiliBordan. So that's the handle, I think. And, yeah, just look me up. And, yeah, any questions that they have, they can also post under the photo you posted, maybe, on Instagram.
Oh, yep. Yep, that's right.
Yeah. But just all in all, thank you, and I appreciate, you know, anybody who pays attention and follows my work. It means a lot to me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Lily. I really appreciate it. And
we're definitely
rooting for you. Man, you totally killed it. And
pleasant
to die, Wanda. That was like, it was so good. I kid you not.
Yay! Awesome.
So thank you. We look forward to all the great things that you're going to continue to do. And just thank you so much for taking time to do this interview. I know that you were pretty busy, so. Just the fact that you set aside some time means the world to me. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Walter. Have a good night.
You're welcome. You as well.